We've been discussing the major issue of Shnei Mokhtin Betalis, and the implications of that. So we've been discussing the idea that when one person has Tfisa and Betaltalin, we apply the principle of Chazaka Koma Shetachas Yad Adam Areyu Shemo, together with Hamotzi Mechavero Halav Araya. In other words, that possession, when it comes to Metalphalin, is tantamount to the presumption, let's say, of ownership, all things being equal. However, what we're discussing in the Mishnah is what happens when you have competitive tfisa, when two people are tofes bevatachas. And we're discussing whether or not that still is the equivalent of tfisas Metalphalin, just that you split it in half, each one is tofes b'chatzi, each one is tofes half, or whether or not they neutralize each other completely and neither one is tofes, or whether they moderate each other's tfisos. Right? We say that in some respects there's tfisos, in other respects not. In other words, jointly they're tofes, or each one has some aspect of tfisa b'chol, but by virtue of the fact that there's a competitor who is claiming that the that he has no rights, so that impacts on the quality of the tfisa. So this is the issue that we've been discussing, and what we've seen so far is that there are, while there's just it's a Mishnah and it's a din, but it's an issue that affects many, many things. Number one, it affects the first discussion of Tosis, which we'll get back to, but the discussion of the second Tosis on the page of Nabeis and Aleph, where Tosis discusses the relationship between Yachloku, Shnei Mokhtin Betalis, two people holding on to Talis, Zemra Kula Shali Yachloku. We divide the controversial Talis. Why is it that in Balabhasra, in a another dispute resolution situation, we say Kol Alim Gavar, whoever is mightier will prevail. And we'll discuss that idea a little bit more fully, hopefully, tonight as well. So to answer that question, we find different answers in the Rishonim. Some of the Rishonim say, like what Tosa says here, and the Rush says here, and Tosa in Bava Basra initially says, and that is that the difference is huge. The difference is that here you have two people, each one of whom is a toe-face. Therefore, you don't say Kol Alim Gavar, because each one is holding on to half of the Talis almost exclusively. Mashain Kane, the Gemara there in Bava Basra, which is a case where, you know, they're arguing about a boat. The boat is sitting in the water, and they're arguing, on dry land. You know, Zelmer shall have both sides, Zelmer shall have both sides. Each one is claiming that it belongs to him. But they're not actually struggling over the physical possession of the boat. So that's the most popular answer in the Rishonim, and many Rishonim give that answer. Some of them, when they give that answer, use language which makes it perfectly clear that they think that the impact of Zed, Zed, Tofes, each one holding on, is that each one is Ki'ilu, the exclusive Tofes, Bachetzi, as opposed to Kol Alim Gavar. However, there are other Rishonim who give a different answer to that question, including the second answer posted in Bava Basra, the Riva, where Tosa says, the difference is that in our Gemara, Shnei Mokhtin Betalis Yachloku, there's no Vadai Ramai. It's not clear that somebody's lying, because it's possible it's all this big misunderstanding. It's possible that each one picked up the object at the same time. Each one thinks that he picked it up prior to the other one. And for that reason, in this particular case, we say Achloka. But in the case of the boat, Zelbar Shalavosai, each one says that it belonged, you know, to his father exclusively. There's no misunderstanding. It's Vare Rabbi, and therefore, Kol Alim Gavar. So the point of the Riva is that in theory, if not for that distinction, even in the case of Hawarva, even in the boat case, we would say Yachloku, if it wasn't Vare Rabbi, even though there's no tfisa, no one has any physical possession of the object. So the point is that there seems to be a debate in discussing how to resolve the discrepancy between why we say Kol Alim Gavar there and why we say Yachloku here. We see this argument of whether Shnei Mokhtin Betalis Yachloku is based on a din vadai and based on tfisa, or whether or not it's just a method of resolving a safek. And in that sense, we have two patterns. We have the pattern of Simchas, who says Mamun Amut of a safek Holkin in general. Simchas thinks that there are other cases of safek where we just paskin Yachloku, and that would be a good model for the perspective of these Rishonim who think that the Oksin Ladafka, or even if there is Oksin, it's not Kalecha Tofet Bechetzi. On the other hand, there are other Rishonim who think that Simchas's din of Baman Mutzav Safek Kalkin has absolutely nothing to do with Shnayim Oksin Betalos Yachlokos. So that's one issue. A second issue which comes up, which we've also discussed, is the issue that is raised by the second Tosis, the third Tosis on the page, the next Tosis, Zendotel Revia. Tosis there discusses the problem. The second case of the Mishnah is a case where one man says the whole talis is mine, and the other guy says half of it is mine. He admits that Reuven, his competitor, really does own half. He just says, but I own the partners, I own the second half. So Tosis asks the question, why do we paskin in the Mishnah that in that case one receives three quarters and the other receives a quarter? Why not say Migu Diba Yamar Kula Shali? Since Shimon could have said the whole thing belongs to me, he would have walked away with half. So we should give him the half, we should believe him on the half, each one should walk away with half. That's Tosis's question. So our printed Tosis here gives the answer. The Omer Mufarish Rivam, the Migul Hotzi Lomrinan, the Bechetzu Hasheni Mukzak Zeh Kimo Zeh. Tosis's answer is, we don't say Migul Hotzi. The idea of Migu, which is he had a better lie, or an alternative taina, alternative claim, and therefore we should believe him in the lesser claim that he makes, or the less convincing claim that he makes, that principle is not applied when you want to be motzi mamon, only when you want to be machzik mamon. So the question is this really motzi mamon? Think about it. One person is holding on, to one part of the talis, the other one's holding on to the other part of the talis. Each claims that he is the, one claims he owns half, and the other claims that he owns the whole. We're talking about on the half, on the disputed half, instead of saying each one gets a quarter, we want to be able to give the one who says half, we want to give him the whole half. So Tosa says you can't do that because it's Migu Lahotzi. Why is it Migu Lahotzi? He's holding on to the talis like the other fellow is. So apparently, Tosis Lashita Sam, Tosis here is consistent. They think that the disputed portion of the talis is, in theory, legally, right, split up into two halves. And it's as if each one is tofes in that half. In other words, in this case, in the half talis, which is under dispute, one quarter is held by Reuven, and one quarter is held by Shimon. Therefore, if Shimon wants to take half, meaning he wants to go beyond the quarter that he's tofes, that's called Migu Lahotzi. But other Rishonim give a different answer. They say, Ein Omrim Migu Mimamon Mimamon. They have all sorts of different answers that they give. They don't like the answer of Migu Lahotzi. There are two reasons they don't like it. Or three reasons. Okay. But one reason is because some of them don't agree with the rule. The Ramban, in other places in Shas, doesn't think that there is a viable rule that says Migu Lahotzi Lomrina. He doesn't think it's true. He says Migu is Motzi Mamon, just like Migu is Maksik Mamon. But there are other Rishonim who don't like this rule. Not the rule, they don't like the application of the rule. Because they say it's not an example of Migu Lahotzi, because each one's claiming that the whole talis, or in this case half of the talis, is his, and each one is toe-face together with the other one. Not each one toe-face half. They're together, toe-face, makol. So it's not an example, even if you believe in the rule, Migu Lahotzi, Lom Rinan, it's not a case of Migu Lahotzi. So the discussion of Tosis number 2 and the discussion of Tosis number 3 are really very parallel. In addition to that, there were three or four other Gemaras which seem to be discussing this problem, and we started going through them last time, and I want to finish up with that in a moment.
On this talis, is that something that's discussed?
What do you mean, Hashem Sodeinu?
Was it Hefka, or was it more?
Yeah, Hefka. The Gemara has two cases. The Gemara in the continuation here on the base of an Aleph in the bottom, and then the beginning of base on base, says, how come, the Gemara says, how come it says, Zomar Kulashali, it seems like it's redundant language. So the Gemara says, I'm talking about two different cases. One is Mitzia, but here by Mitzia they mean Hefker, and the other one is Mekach Memkar. Two people are vying to purchase the same object from a seller. And they both throw their money at the table, and he doesn't know who put the money down first. He wants to sell to the person who put the money down first. So in either of these cases, it's not mitzia like an aveda that you have to pick up and return. It's not that kind of it's hefker. Hefker or mekach u'mefkar case.
But it's hefker, can't one be dochem in a hefker without picking up?
So that's the other continue. That's the discussion of the Gemara, which we're going to get to. That is, the Gemara says, "Oh, I might have thought that habata the hefker, that seeing it first, I saw it first. Does seeing it first help?" That's the Gemara. If you look here very quickly, the Gemara says, "Lamli l'misa zelmar nimisasiyav zelmar nimisasiyav zelmar kulishin zelmar kulishali." Why do you need both languages? Listen, chada k'tani by zelmar nimisasiyav kulishali, the zelmar nimisasiyav kulishali, right? The listening, I knew it's a sea of anaya down in the kulishali. So the Gemara says, itani, the Gemara is playing with the language. What does it mean? The Gemara says, itani, I knew it's a sea, have a mina, my mitzasia, re'isia. If it said, I knew it's a sea alone and didn't say the rest, I would have thought that means I saw it first. Afagablo asaliyade. Even if it didn't come to my possession, there was no physical hagbah, right? That seeing it first, since it's hefker, would work. The re'ia, the alma, kani, just by seeing it, that would be a basis for a kid. That's an interesting, we'll talk about it. Tana kula shali, therefore the language of the Mishnah is kula shali, to teach you the beriya lo kani. You have to make a kinyan, and riya is not a kinyan. We'll discuss when we get to that Gemara, I hope next week, that, if there would be a kinyan riya, what would it be based on? And is there ever a kinyan riya? We'll talk about it. The Gemara in the very end of the Pesachta, Tosfos already asked the question. The Gemara here on Kufiyut Chesam and Aleph, the very end of the Pesachta, seems to talk about three possible views in the Gemara, whether Habata Behefker, whether seeing something first helps or not. Then the Gemara says, Miyav Efsam Rimay Mitzasiyah Re'isiyah. Can you really say that the word Mitzasiyah means Re'isiyah? The Amar Rav Noah, it should be Ravina, Mitzasah, when it comes to Aveda, which is what you were asking about before, a real Aveda, like, in other words, an object that's lost in the street and you pick it up and you have to return it. So when it comes to that, the actual obligation of Hashem to Shivaim only begins when you actually pick up the object. Now the truth is there is an Isra of Lo Tis'alem, right, even if you just see it and ignore it. But the Din of Hashem to Shivaim only begins when you pick it up. So the Gemara says, in Umatzasa Dikra, if you're talking about biblical language, the Asaliyade Mashma, then it only applies to a situation where you actually pick it up. But in the language of the Mishnah, we would have thought that it's, you know, just more colloquial usage. And therefore, Mitzasa would mean, I found it, meaning I saw it first. The Afagav the Asaliyade, Beriya Bialma Kani, therefore Tani Kula Shali, the Beriya Bialma Lo Kani Lay. Then the Gemara says, why not just say the words kula shali? Why do you need ani matasiya? The Gemara says, "Yitani kula shali avamina bialma dektani matasiya beria bialma kani." Maybe you think, "Oh, we're not using that language here because we don't want to get confused." But normally, when the language of mitasiya is used, it means habata, means seeing it, not picking it up as a kinyan. Therefore, tana ani matasiya v'hadatani kula shali d'nimishni yaseirash minan d'riya lo kani ever, like never. Do you acquire something just by seeing it first? Then the Gemara says, "Amima tsam is chada k'tani." It's about one case, and it's going to such effort, such lengths, you know, just to teach you this halacha. V'ha, after all, the language of the Mishnah is zeh v'zeh k'tani. Zeh amar nimitasiyah v'zeh amar nimitasiyah v'zeh amar kulishali v'zeh amar kulishali. It sounds like it's talking about two different cases. So that's when the Gemara comes to the final conclusion. Amar Rav Papa v'tamer Rav Shimi Barashi v'amar la kedi reisha b'mitziyah. The first case is one of mitzia, but mitzia here means not a veda, but a davar hefker. And seifa b'mekach u'memkar. The seifa is talking about a case where two people are buying to acquire the same object, and there's a confusion who is the real purchaser. And then the Gemara explains the itana mitzia havamina mitzia hu derami shualei b'shun demori v'amar chabroi lav midi chasaba. Ezel Aktis v'ispalig v'adei Avomekach u'memka d'leke l'memar achi emalo. You might think that if it, why do you need both the case of Mitzia and Mekach u'memka? So the Gemara says if you only had Mitzia, I would think that there's a purpose having a Shavua in the case of Mitzia, because the person justifies his behavior. This is all pure gain. Right? It's an interesting perspective, right? It's Hector. No one's losing anything. So I'm going to take a little license here, because either way, he's not losing. It's just, you know, I'm preventing him from a gain. But I'm not causing him, I'm not inflicting upon him a loss. Right? So lav midechasav. For ozil atzvis vis palik b'hadei. So I'll grab part, and I'll split it with him. Why should he get all the benefit of this, gratuitous, we're talking about actually trying to acquire something that's more, you know, routine business. So maybe there's no justification in that case. The lake of the meimer hachi emalot. So therefore, maybe there's no point to big neshua. And then the Gemara says, or you could say the opposite. Itana beka chomemkar, who the Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbanan Shmuel, Leim Shem Demori, V'yamar Chavroi, Dami Kayahiv, Vana Dami Kayahivna, Hashin Shricha Ledi, Eshkele Ana, V'chavroi, Leza Litrach Lisbon. On the other hand, there's a justification in the other case. Now, if two people are trying to purchase the same object, so you might say, you know what? It's all about dollars and cents. In a case of a Mitzvah, so, you know, he really saw it and picked it up first, and therefore the $100 belongs to him, right? So what? I'm going to take away $50. Good. It's a gratuitous benefit that he got, right? It's lo midichasa, right? But at the end of the day, I'm cheating him out of his windfall, 50% of his windfall. I'm cheating him out of that. But in the case of Nakach Homemkar, the Gemara says it's all about the dollars and cents, right? So no one's losing any money here. It's about the acquisition of a ben. So he'll go buy another ben with the same money. At least I'm not causing him a financial reverse. Right? Therefore, these Mora Hester on that. Abba Metzia, the lake of the Mamer Hachi, because that's a real, you know, financial difference. Hema, right? Low. Therefore, Tzricha. And then the Gemara goes on, and we'll talk about the next part of the Gemara as well. But either way, that's the background of what you're asking. Yeah.
What you said earlier about Ria, when it comes to Hashavas Aveda, the mitzvah doesn't kick in until it's all the other.
The mitzvah of Hashem Teshiva.
Yet,
the Easter of Lotus Alem starts early.
Yet, when there's a Ria on helping with a Masa, you hear, the mitzvah kicks in right away.
For the same reason, because that's a Lotu Halis Alem kind of a mitzvah. Anything having to do with the prohibition against neglecting the needs of your neighbor, the Lotu Halis Alem, both when there's a masa, and in the case of Aveda, that begins Mishas Riyah. It's what doesn't begin is the relationship that you have to actually return the Chepta. That's your obligation to him, not to leave him in the lurch and to ignore his needs. That begins Mishas Riyah. But your obligation as somebody who has a relationship with the object only begins when you pick it up. Actually, that's explicit. That's the Gemara later on. If you want to see it, just since you asked. That's the Gemara in Eilu Metzias and Chav Bavu Medbeis. Gemara here says as follows: Amar Rava. It's almost. It's like one third of the way down. The Gemara says on Chav Bavu Medbeis. Amar Rava. Ra Sela Shenafla. Like a person saw a coin fall out of someone else's pocket, or an object fall out of somebody's pocket. So the Gemara says Nafla Lifneiush. Almanas Legozla, let's say somebody picks it up before the other person even knows that it's missing, or certainly before he gave up hope of getting it back, and he picked it up, the other fellow picked it up with the intention of stealing it. Right? Over Bekulon. So he violates Lo Sigzol, Hashem Teshivim, Lo Tukolis Alem, because he picked it up, he intended to steal it, and there is a real owner, because the other guy wasn't Mesiyash. Okay. Yafagav Dechozol Achayyush, even if he changes his mind, but he's still a gazlan. Matanu diyoyvle v'yisur da'avadavad. Notla litnei yeyush. Right? Almanas lagzira. Let's say he picks it up with the intention of returning the aveda. With achar yish niskav in the gozal. Then after yish, he changes his mind. He decides he's going to keep it. So then, over mishum hashem tashidem. Right? Kimtid la ad shen isyashua bailim. Let's say he didn't pick it up at all until he waited till the other fellow noticed that it was missing and gave up hope. He could have picked it up right away, meaning he ignored it and he didn't touch it until the timing was better for him, because then he could be Zocha after Yeish. But not long. So this is what the Gemara says. Eina over elamishim lotuchal yisalem bilvad. You do violate lotuchal yisalem by ignoring his needs. And it's exactly like the case that you were talking about, right? So that is the... that's how you see this halacha, that it's a very important yisod. I think the Gemara doesn't explain why, and Rishonim don't really talk about it so much either, but I think the principle is this. The obligation you owe your fellow man, not to neglect him, the gavra, in other words, that begins once you're aware of his need. Just like in tzedakah, right? If you have an ani who comes begging, well, a legitimate ani, you know, who comes begging, and, you know, so, and he, you know, is addressing you, not somebody who goes to 100 people and makes the rounds and does it all. I mean, somebody who is making a plea, a personal plea to you, right? That's where you have the idea of the silent. So that begins, you know, immediately. Anything having to do with an interpersonal obligation that you owe somebody relying on you, etc., right, that is something that is immediate. But hashet teshivim has to do with your obligation, your relationship to the object. That only begins, like kinyanim, when you actually pick it up. That's where matasa really comes into play. Anyway, getting back to that's a little bit of a tangent, but that's an important tangent. So basically what I was trying to say is that there's this debate about Shnayim Osim Betalos Yachloku, whether it's based on two people having equal tfisas on half, or no tfisa, or diluted tfisa. And the Nafkamina is how you look at the Kol Dalam Gavar question, how you formulate it, also how you look at the Migul Lahotzi question, and there are other issues as well. So the Gemara of Gibel Amid Aleph uses the expression Anan Sahadi. The Gemara says that the Gemara thought that we could bring a raya from the Mishnah to Amor the Mikvah's case. We read it last time, which was 2 weeks ago, so I don't want to read it again at the moment. But the Gemara uses very strong language on Gimel Amid Aleph. Anan Sahadi, this is on Gimel Amid Aleph towards the bottom. The Gemara says, here, 10 lines up from the bottom of the page. The Tana Tuna, Shnayim Osim Betalos, Zemrani Mitzotziya. Balka Kibin the Tafas, Anan Sahadi, Demai the Tafas, Haidi Dehu, Mai the Tafas, Haidi Dehu. So the Gemara uses very strong language suggesting that each person holding on to the talis, it's as if he has witnesses that back up his story, right, to the extent of half the talis belonging to him. That each tisa is the equivalent of an anansade of edim on half. That's a very strong statement that Shai Mos Metalis kolachot tokas pechetzi. And that's what Tosis quotes. When they want to, right, formulate this idea, they're quoting, they don't tell you, but they're quoting this Gemara in Gimel Amid Aleph. The Ran, which I'll speak of in just a minute, but we talked about last time a little bit, on Vav Amid Aleph, but he wants to express the idea of Shai Mos Metalis Yachloku based on Zet Tofes Bechetzi. Zet Tofes Bechetzi? This is the Gemara that he quotes. Right? Sometimes, not sometimes, always, language is always important, right, in legal argumentation. And plucking, you know, a loaded line, you know, from one context is very revealing. Now the question is, how do the other Rishonim explain this? We try to explain it. The Rambam, the Ravon, Tosfos Rid, the second day of Tosfos Bavli, they don't believe. They think that when two people pick up a talis, they neutralize each other. What do they explain them? How do what they do about Anan Sadi? So we tried to explain last time. If you look at Dalet Amid Aleph, right? So Dalet Amid Aleph, the Gemara says, revisits this line, and the Gemara says, you know what? It's not such a good proof that we're trying to bring from our Mishnah. The question is, when the Gemara turns its back on the proof, did they turn their back on the perspective that the proof was based on? Namely, that two people holding on to a talis, kolachot tofes behetzi. Because what made the cut, right? And what didn't? When the Gemara changed its mind about the effectiveness of this proof that they're trying to bring on Gimel Amid Aleph, did they just think it's a bad proof? Or do they think, in addition to being a bad proof, it's based on a false premise about Shnayim Osim Betalos? That's the class, that's the debate. And similarly, the Gemara in Dalet Amid Aleph discusses another possibility based on the Mishnah. The Gemara says, the Gemara compares Shnayim Osim Betalos to Halach. What is Halach? Halach is a fool. We'll talk about it much more extensively. But Halach is the following idea. Moda b'mitzvah sataina, b'schai b'shvua. What does that mean? If I say, Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me $100. And Shimon says, I owe you 30, but I do not owe you 100. Right? That's called Moda the Mikvas. He admits part. Now, if Shimon had said, I don't owe you a penny, right? That's called Kofar HaKol. He denies everything. Kofar HaKol is Patur Min HaTorah from taking the Shvuah. Midrabanan, we give the Shvuah Sessus, but Min HaTorah, Kofar HaKol is Patur. Moda the Mikvas is Chai V'Shvuah Doraisa. About three Shvuahs Doraisa, which we'll be talking about a lot more. Moda the Mikvas, in Echad, Shvuahs HaShomer. Those are the three Shvuahs Doraisa. Okay. Anyways, the point is, the classic case of one of the mikvahs is, you owe me $100, and the guy responds, I owe you 70, I owe you 30, I owe you 50, I don't owe you 100. What if the guy says, I owe you 30, and then he pulls it out, pulls out the $30, or the, let's say it's the object, even better, if it's picadon, he says, you owe me, you know, the an object, or two objects, I was not getting it. You know, I gave you these things to watch. The guy pulls out the picadon. He says, not two objects, one. Or not a big object, a little one. And here it is. That's called halach. Halach means here it is. So does here it is make a difference? That's a machlokas in the Gemara. Rav Sheshes and Rav Chizda. That's the Sugyan Dalid Amud Al. So the Gemara here says, and the Gemara rejected the first right, ki hitman's on dalad or b'dalad. I'm trying to show you that if you read the Gemara's carefully, it's not just this Mishnah and this discussion, it's the Mishnah on Beis HaMidalef, and it's several Shach HaVatarias throughout the first seven or so dapim of the Gemara. Okay. So the Gemara says as follows. Ela ki hitmar v'tana tuna ha'idich drab chia hitmar. It's a little bit more than, it's like two-fifths of the way up from the bottom, three-fifths of the way down the page. Damrab chia manoli b'yadecha. You owe me $100. The guy says, I owe you 50, but I owe you 100. The halach, and here's the 50. So by saying the and here it is, does that make a difference? So the Gemara says, this man damar says, chai, my taima, halach nami, kemodim v'miksas ha'taina dami. Halach doesn't make a difference, it's a regular modim v'miksas. Saying here it is doesn't matter, it doesn't change the equation. The tanatuna, and he wanted to bring a riot from our mission of Shnai Moks and Batalas. Shnai Moks and Batalas, Vahacha Kibin Detafis. Now, you notice how there's a bracket that says, Anan Sadi Demai Detafis Helechu? Because not everybody has that girsa. Because that was the girsa of the previous Gemara when the Gemara said, oh, it's Tvisa is the equivalent of Anan Sadi. So we're still saying that, even once we got rid of that raya of that previous Gemara? Maybe yes, maybe not. Because this confirms our view that there are two perspectives out there, right? Was that original characterization accurate even though the application to some other din was inaccurate? Or once we dropped the application, we also dropped the formulation? Well, why do you have to say it in such an extreme way? So when the Gemara tries another proof for the Mishnah, for another din, Halach, are they still trying to say Anan Sadi? At minimum, they're trying to say Halach. What's the halach in Shnai Moks and Batalas? Well, if you think that neither of them are holding anything, then there's no halach, probably. Or it's harder to explain that there's halach. But if you explain that each one, you know, is actually holding on to what he's going to walk away with, meaning it's not mechusa gevaina. You don't need to do anything. What's the point? What does halach really accomplish? Point to the number that it accomplishes something. What it does is, it takes the motive of mikzas, and it turns it into a kofar HaKol and a modim HaKol. By virtue of the fact that I'm going to make this into a non-issue. I don't owe you half. I don't owe you anything. I'm denying completely what you're saying. And I'm admitting completely what is between us. By saying halach and putting it on the table, but instead of it being modim HaMikzas, I'm saying I'm kofar HaKol and a modim HaKol. Right? So the Gemara thought that if Halach is going to work, that it could be patterned after Shnai Moks and Batalas. Because each one's holding on, so there's no Mechusa Gemara. You don't have to do anything more. It's like putting it on the table. Tzimtzum and talus just means that two people are holding on to the fringes of a talus and nobody's holding on because both of them are holding on. And where's your hand? Right? So that's again, the Gemara is Uktani Yishma. Darshesh Sama Helech Batar. My time Kim Dama Lehelech. Hani's using the Kamoda Begabayu. The amount that he admits to, Kimad and Nakit Lamalva Dami. It's as if he took it already. Ubi Inech Chamishim. What about the other 50 that he denies? Kol Amoda. So he's called for a call. And he's Moda Bakol. Hilkach Leka Hoda. Mitzvah Satainu. So the Gemara says the Rav Sheish is kosher masni. So what do you do with the halach of the tzitzta of the anan sadi? Maybe of the Rav Sheish is masni from takanas chachamim. The Mishnah tells us that shnayim osim betalas yachloku bishvua. That's not a din d'oraisa. That's not motive to mikzas. That's a, the Gemara says that's a din d'rabanan. So the Gemara says v'idach. Yeah. But in takanas chachamim, it is a takanas chachamim. Umiu, he almost bishom of the raisa, helachayin, metakner, bonan, shu, kain, the raisa. Oh, he almost the raisa, helach potter, metakner, bonan, shu, the raisa, kavasa, the raisa. Maybe it's patterned after shu, the raisa. So, once again, whether or not this is the Gemara doesn't say this is a bad proof for helach because tvisa isn't important. Tvisa is just a way of saying that there's a satek. There are two ways to read the Gemara, once again. And that's also the Gemara on Hayomid Beis. A third Gemara, or fourth Gemara, really. Gimel Med Aleph, Dalet Med Aleph on the top, Dalet Med Aleph on the bottom, and now Hayomid Beis. The Gemara says, V'chima Achar. This is a third of the way down. The Gemara says, V'chima Achar, Shezet Tafus V'yomid, V'zet Tafus V'yomid, Shvu Zulama. Meaning, since each one's holding on to the talis, what do you need a shmua for? What kind of question is that? So the more you think that each one is really a tofes, you know, and you say the din of Jesus metalpin chazaka kol mashatachas yadadam areu shalom. Now, when you say chazaka kol mashatachas yadadam areu shalom, right? Do you need a shmua? Right? Probably not. Unless it's a Shua's hasis, that's something else. But basically, you don't need a Shua. So why do you, that's the Gemara's question. But the other Rishonim might say, isn't that Tafas V'yomid, Zet Tafas V'yomid? You can't compare this to Tzifas Metalkalin at all. Because there, one person's holding on. Here, two competitive rivals are holding on. Each one cancels each other, they cancel each other out. So when the Gemara says, Amar Yochanan, Shmuzu Tekanus Hakamim, Shleik Alechem Yachar Olech, Betoke, Betaliso Shokadero, Ba'omer Shalu Shalihu. Is the Gemara just saying, you're wrong about the nature of the Shmua, but everything else you're right about? Namely, that this is Tfisas Metaltalim? Or is the Gemara saying, the fact that the Shmua here is not the Shmua that you thought, is also connected to the fact that the Tfisa is not what you thought? You thought it was Kalecha Tofes Pechetzi, and it's not true. It's Shneim Yachad Tofes Makol, or maybe you don't even need Tvisa. They really cancel each other out, which is why it's a whole different kind of a shul. So there are all these interesting gemaras. It's interesting. The Ramban quotes this line very prominently. Makash Shezet Tofes Yomid, Shezet Tofes, even though it's only a Havamina. When somebody quotes a Havamina, Lamaskana, it means that they think it made the final cut. Not that the Havamina made the final cut, but the part of the Havamina that they're still quoting did. I mean, the legal thinking about how you're describing Shneim Osim was correct, just some of the other parts were not correct. But the other Rishonim will tell you, no, once we threw that out, our whole assessment changed. So that brings us back to the last thing we talked about last time, very quickly, and I just want to mention it again because it's so important, and that is the Gemara in Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara in Vav Amud Aleph, according to the Ram at least, is exactly recording the debate of the Rishonim, but at the time of the Gemara. What's the Gemara in Vav Amud Aleph? So basically the Gemara has the following issue. Let's say you have Shneim Osim Betalus, right? They're struggling. And then one guy grabs it from the other guy and takes it away from him. Bifaneinu, we're watching, we're seeing this. Happening in front of us. Now the other guy when this happens, is initially quiet, right? And then he starts complaining. He reacts. He objects. So that's the case of the Gemara here. The Gemara says, here on Vavam Adalet, Boy Rav Zeira, talk for Echad B'Faneinu Mal. If one man, right, grabs the disputed talis, which both of them were holding, and he grabs it for himself, what's the din? So the Gemara says, Hey Hadami, well, we need a little information, a little more information, please. Either Shosik, if the other fellow is quiet, now Reuven and Shimon are holding on to this talis, each one's claiming, right, that the object is only his. Right? Reuven grabs it completely as we're standing there, and Shimon does what? Shimon's quiet, he's silent. So that do you delay? It sounds like he's admitting it. Like he thought originally he would try to, grab this object. He thought wasn't going, so he gave up. And he admits that it's an admission that it's not his. Okay, fine. But either Katzadich, if he right away, Shimon was saying, you can't grab this from me. Accept. Right? So then, my Havelin Amendment, what more do you want him to do? We don't live in a society where people can just, well, most cases, where people can just strong arm each other. Right? Maybe in called Aum Gavar, we'll discuss that. Maybe not even then. Right? So the Gemara says, Slo Tricha, the Shasik Mikar of Adat Zavach. What happened was, there was initial quiet, silence, followed by a raucous objection. I don't know if it was raucous, but Zavach, sounds like it's raucous. Okay. So the question is, my midashtik of the Yehovah, right? Do we zero in on the first part? It's quiet. Maybe he was quiet originally in light of his later objection, only because he figured, listen, what do I have to scream for? I'm a civilized man. Everybody sees what's going on here. Right? So that's the discussion. So the Rishonim all discuss, like, what is this? What's this debate? So most Rishonim say the discussion here is a discussion about in Hilchos Hodah. If you have Mikara, Shasak, Ul Basov, Tzavach, right, is that considered to be a proper Hodah, right, or a proper Tzavach, or a Safek? What is the status, in other words, of this, ambivalent or complex, we'll call it, shtika slash tzavach.
So what is the impact of the Rabbanan? Has his tzavach shalom with me based in, but to wait?
Yeah, so that's Machlokas Rishonim. I don't want to get into that right now. But the Rajba against the Ramban and other Rishonim, would it be better or worse if Bezdin was there?
So Bezdin is there.
So is Bezdin there or Eben there? That's the question. Yeah. Right. So that's the discussion that the Rishonim have, which is more, on the one hand, you say, well, Bezdin sees it. That's all I need to know. But if it's people who are not officially Dayanim, maybe you always have to scream. Or is it the opposite? In the presence of Bezdin, you're not screaming. This is you have your day in court, but you have to use your day in court. It's an interesting argument, right? So that's what Chokos Rishonim might get. Anyway, the point is as follows. Most Rishonim think that the issue here is to assess this Safei Koda. If they were putting it in somewhere, they would put it in, in Hilchos Hodah Sodin, basically. The Ran, we saw this last time, has a very novel reading of the Gemara. The Ran says, no. Everybody agrees that this is a Safek Hodah. The real debate is to figure out Shnayim Oksim B'Talos. Because, can a Safek Hodah be Motzi? Mi Vadai Tfisa? For sure not. But can a Safek Hodah be Motzi from a Safek Tfisa? Why not? So the question is, when two people are holding on to a talis, each one is saying Kula Shali, is that Vadai Tfisa? Or Safek Tfisa? Ah, that's the question. So the Ran says, depends how you look at Shnayim Oksim B'Talos. If you zero in on the words Anan Sa'adi, and he quotes Anan Sa'adi, right, it sounds like Kalecha Topes B'Vadai B'Chetzi Atalis. So what are you going to say? A Safek Hodah can take away from a Vadai Tfisa B'Chetzi? No. Ain't Safek Motzi Midei Vadai. Right? We have something which is certain and something which is uncertain. Uncertain doesn't have the ability, right, to undo certain or to override certain. But if the whole point is that to begin with, we're just not sure. Meaning, to begin with, you have two people holding on. By virtue of the fact that there are two, they neutralize each other somewhat. Now the question is, okay, we have a suffix. We're going to pass in Yaakov. But now there's a suffix that maybe Shimon was moded to Reuven too. Right? So in the situation of suffix, suffix hodah might be motzi, the suffix tisa. That's how the Ran reads the Gemara. So it ends up that the Shaka Vitaria, this Gemara is gufa about this question. Then the Gemara later on says, if you look at the bottom of the daf, so the Gemara says, Intim Salomar, Takfa Echob de Fanenu, Emotzim Miyodo, Hikdisha Velo Takfa Mao. Meaning, if you want to say that in a case of Shnayim Otsin Betalis, and Takfa Echob de Fanenu, right, Motzin Otsin Miyodo, he doesn't get away with it. In other words, we don't recognize this, de facto, victory of his at all. We go back to Shimos and Metallus. So certainly Higdisha and Mukudesha. Let's say there are Shimos and Metallus, and one guy holds a press conference, or he doesn't, and he says, "I'm Makdish to Talus to Hekdish." That's a legal grab, not a physical grab. Right? A physical grab is Shimos and Metallus, and then he grabs it away from him. But let's say he makes a legal maneuver that is parallel to a physical grab. A legal grab, right? He gives the object to Hekdesh. Why is that a legal grab? Because Hekdesh doesn't need, in order to transfer something to Hekdesh, you don't have to be the physical, you don't have physical control over it. You have to be the owner. You do. You have to have bylaws. So that's the question. He says, I have bylaws. So now, do you have to worry that maybe he really does? Because we have a rule in Hekdesh that says, Amirasa legaboa, Kimisi Rasa lehejo. Right? You don't need physical hakna, you can do it to Dibor. But you have to be the owner. He claims he is the owner. Should we treat it as Safek Mi'ila? That's the question. So the Gemara says, if the physical grab doesn't work, then the legal grab isn't going to work. But if the physical grab works, will the legal grab also work? Intim Salomar talk for Akhla Fanino, Emotsim Biyado, he'll get away with it. He Kadisha, but don't talk for Mao. Kivan, the Omar Mar, and Yosel Gavokim, Sarasa, the Hedge of Dami, Kinman, the talk for Dami. Is the legal, right, grab the equivalent of the physical, right, overpowering, right? Odilmar, maybe, Hashemi, Allah talk for. It isn't, because one, you really have physical control, and the other, you're just asserting that you're the owner. Uksiv, Ishkiya, like you said, Ishkiya, Kish, is based on Kodeshma, based on Bershu, Saf, Kodesh, you have to be the owner. You have to be the unequivocal owner. Anyways, so all Rishonim are bothered by this Gemara for the following reason. Bali Tosis already asked the question. Tosis here says, Hikdisha lo tak fu mairi nami, kigon chasas shosak, mishon shi hikdisha lo tsof, kishashola gizbar tsobach. Tosis has those words because what bothered Tosis? You could cost him a safer. The first case isn't just a case of a physical grab. It's a physical grab in conjunction with what? A suffix hodah. Here, in the legal grab, is a legal grab. Where's the suffix hodah? The Tosis says in Achanami, for the Gemara to make sense. Right? We have to reconstruct in the Gemara. For the case to make sense, it's got to be the same case, but we're substituting legal. Right, the effort to make a legal transaction, we want to know, a legal transaction which doesn't require a physical control, is that the equivalent of a physical, de facto overpowering of the other fellow? So you have to add, that's good legal thinking. If you're going to say A, we want to know whether A is the equivalent of B, then the circumstances have to be parallel. The Ran says, the reason I came up with my novel pshat about the first half of the Gemara, that the real argument is how you look at legally, conceptually, whether Shimos and Metallus, Kalecha, Tofus, Bechetzi, or they neutralize each other. He said, what inspired me was the second part of the Gemara. Because I was inspired by the problem of reading the continuation of the Gemara. I don't think Tosfos is right that we're talking about a case implicitly where you have a suffix hodah. He says, number one, it's not there. Number two, it doesn't work well for the continuation on government base, which we're not going to discuss right now. Other cases. So how can the Gemara compare apples and oranges? Right? You want to know whether a legal, you know, a maneuver, right, has the, you know, can approximate, you know, a physical confiscation in a case where the physical confiscation, right, has also a suffix hodah. There's no suffix hodah. So the Ran says, I'll tell you how you do this legally, methodologically. He doesn't say all this, I'm saying it for him. But he says, but this is what he says. I mean, this is what he's saying. I'm just fleshing it out much more. He says, how do you do that? How do you ever compare two different cases, you know, or discuss the question of you know, whether case one is you know, approximates the case two when the circumstances are different? Right? Yeah, there could be two answers. This is me speaking now, for the round. One is, if the circumstances that are different are immaterial. Did it rain that day? Was he wearing blue? Was he wearing green? Was he wearing his glasses? Most of the time, those are, you know, those are circumstances, but they're irrelevant. But this is not an irrelevant factor. If it wasn't for the fact that there was a suffix hodah, we wouldn't be talking about physical prevailing working. So that doesn't work. So you need another method. What's the other method? The answer is, you can compare dissimilar cases if what you're trying to, if in both cases the common denominator is a concept. If they're just different applications of a certain conceptual question, then even though the physical circumstances are different and relevant to one of the cases, as long as the other case reflects the concept, that's fine. That's what the Ran says is happening here. That's beautiful legal thinking. Meaning, what was the first case when you had a suffix hodah? It wasn't about suffix hodah. Suffix hodah was a hechetimtzi to bring out what point? Well, the Shai Moksim Palace, Kolechot Bevadei Topis Pechetzi, Chazaka Kolbash Yitachos Yadom Arayu Shalo, or it's like Moment of Mutav Suffix. Now, each one doesn't have half. We're just not sure which one has whole. Right? Nafkamina will be, that's the whole first part of the Gemara. What's a Nafkamina? Safek Hodah. The Safek Hodah is not Motsi Mivadai, but Safek Hodah, Motsi Misafek. So what's the real shock of the Tari of the Gemara? About Safek Hodah? No. Safek Hodah is a litmus test. It's just a way to highlight a legal question. Namely, is the Shai Motsim Batalis of the Mishnah Vadai or Safek? Is it Kalecha Bechetzi? Or not. So then the Gemara says, by the way, we have a parallel conceptual legal question. It's not a case of suffix hodah, because we don't need suffix hodah to bring out this same issue. The issue in this case is brought out by a different circumstance. We're talking about hekdesh. To be marked as something, you don't have to have the physical control over it. You just have to be the owner. So now the question is, if you say Ksayim Oksim Batalis Yachloku, the Din Badai, Kalechot Topes Bechetzi, no matter what they claim, right, that's the way we look at it. Chazaka Koma Shetaka Sarah Rehu Shalom. So Ruvain can't call a press conference and say, I'm giving the whole palace to Hekdesh, man of the year. What do you mean he's giving the whole palace to Hekdesh? The other guy has a tefisa on it. It would be the equivalent of, you know, Ruvain shows up because he's the only one holding on to a watch. And then Shimon calls a press conference and says, you know, that's my watch and I'm giving it to Hekdesh. Right? The presumption of Tzitzis Metaltolin, right, establishing ownership, precludes him doing that. So now, if you say Steinbock's and Metalis, Kolechot Topis Pechetzi, it's basically the same thing, right? And therefore, it's not going to work. But if you say Shaimos and Batalis, each one neutralizes the other. So what's the situation? One of these two guys owns it. We don't know which. What we usually do, Misafek, is like Sumchas in a way. But does each one have Tzitzis Metaltolin on it? No. So that one guy called a press conference and said, I'm donating the whole palace to Hekdesh. Well, there's a 50% chance that he's the owner. And there's no presumptive tfisa, right, that's in his way as far as the other guy is concerned. So shouldn't we be worried 50% Safek Daraisa that you're violating the Ima? Meaning, if you hold that in the case of Safek Hoda, right, that it works, i.e., what do you really hold? That Shaim, Oaks, and Batalis, Yachloku, is a Din Safek, not a Din Badai, then I'm also the Gawal Kamisar also Mahedja, will be another Echetimzi, another Nafkabina. Does that have to be a case of Safek Hoda? No. Because what Safek Hoda accomplished, right, was just to bring out, to highlight, right, the difference between Tfisas Badai and Tfisas Safek. Another Nafkamina is Hakdish. That's what he did, Shema. So very fast. Now, what I wanted to add today is the Ksos in Simen Kuf Lamed Ches, talk about these topics, has a big question on the Pinot, the Mepharshim earlier had a big question on the Rambam. Rambam has this just general shita about when you say, when the Gemara says, Intim Salomar, that you always go by the second one, whatever. According to that, the Rambam's psak doesn't come out seemingly well when it comes to Safek Hoda. And all the Akronim discuss this problem. So the Ksav says, in Simen Kuf Lamed Ches, the answer is, the Rambam read the Gemara like the Chiddush Erad. I mean, the Gemara isn't talking about Safek Hoda. The Gemara is talking about Shnayim Ochs Batalis. And therefore the Rambam's psak is fine and good. That works imperfectly with what we've seen from the Rambam throughout. Because what do we say? The Rambam says Shnayim Ochs Batalis doesn't need Shnayim Ochsim. Shnayim Yoshvim Eitzel Ha'arema, two people sitting in the presence of a pile of chitim. That's the Rambam, right, Perek Tes Halacha Zayin. Shnayim Chiyoksim B'Kliyachod Hoshi Rochim Agabi Be'im Achas Hoshi Echad Rochid Echad Manig Ho Yoshvim B'Tzad Arema Shal Chitim Humunachos B'Simta O'B'Kata Shal Shnayim. Now, two people are standing next to a pile of tvua. If it's chata shal shneim, it's like shneim oksin. It's a legal oksin. But if it's a simta, what's a simta? A neutral rishos. There's no kinyan. He could make a kinyan if he made a kinyan, but he didn't. So what does the Rambam hold? Something like the Rivah and Baldasra. You don't need shneim oksin. That's one Rambam. Then we talk about another Rambam. The next Rambam, Halacha Tes, based on the Gemara, on Zayin Amud Aleph. If you remember, we pointed out, the Gemara in Zayin Amud Aleph says that Shnai Moks and Batalis of the Mishnah is when each one's holding the fringes, Karkashta. But if it was Zen, if it was Yoda Magas, if each one was holding a part of the Talis, Zen no Talat Yoda Magas, Zen no Talat Yoda Magas, Mahashar Yachloku Bishur. So Tosa says, and the Rajput says, and most of the Rishonim say, and let's say it was Zen Ota Magas and Zen Ota Magas, the whole thing. One was holding 2/3, one a third. There would also be a Shmua, because there's not much of a difference between holding the Karkashta and holding the Aramah. The difference isn't how much each one gets. But that both need a Shmua makes sense, because it's basically the same idea. But the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says, Hayu Shnayim Adukim Betala, Zomer Kula Shali, Zomer Kula Shali, Zen Ota Ad Mokam Shira Magas, Zen Ota Ad Mokam Shira Magas, Hashar Chokim B'Shava Achar Shanish Boim. And then he adds, V'yesh L'Kolecha L'Gal Gal Chaveru Shekom HaShanat Al Kedin Hatal. The Rambam's view is that when Kolecha is Notel, Yoda Magas, there's no Shmua. Unless there's also a Shmua on the Shar, on the other part, and then it will be Megalgel Shvua, it's called Dulgul Shvua. What do we see for the Rambam? That the Rambam thinks there's a huge difference between Shnayim Ochs and Batalis B'Karkashta and Kol Echad Notel physically apart. So one good explanation for that, not the only way to explain it, might be that the Rambam really thinks that when Kol Echad Topis B'Karkashta, nobody's really Toface. It's like Shnayim Yoshvin Eitzel Arema. That's the Mishnah, and that's where he gets the Shmua. But because you collect a notel at Yoda Magas, that's like Tfisas Mitalteilin. So it would be perfect if the Ksos was right for the Rambam, that he read the Gemara on Vav Amud Aleph, that Gufa, that's what the Gemara is discussing, whether or not Shnayim Ochs and Batalis is Shneim Totsim Bivadai Kolecha Bechetzi, or Momen Abutu Besafe Kolkin. If that's the way the Rambam read the Gemara, and that explains his intent to Lomar Psach, it works imperfectly with two other Psachim as well. So let me mention a couple of other things.
Shua al-Hashah. What is that Shua?
You mean what kind of Shua is it?
Perfect.
So the Rambam, very good. There are two types of Shua that we know. One is a Nishba of a Niftar, and the other is a Nishba of a Notel. Right? Shua's Doraisa, the three Shua's Doraisa, Mode of the Mikvas, Shua's Hashomrim, and Edahad, all three are Shua's Nishba the Niftar. Right? I say you owe me $100, you say I only owe you $30. Right? So you have to swear on the other $70. What happens? You swear, and then you walk away, you're Niftar. Right? However, Midrabanan, there's something called Nishba the Notel. Mishnah, in the beginning of the seventh parak in Masechet Shavuos, has a whole slew of cases Nishba the Notel. Midrabanan. The Minatora, I'd say the three are Nishba the Niftar, and Minatora, there's another Shavua, it's called Shavuos Heses, for Kol for a Kol, let's say. You owe me $100, and you say, I don't owe you a penny. Right? Minatora, you don't have to swear. The Drabanan, you take a Shavuos Heses. So the Rambam Shita is, that's Nishra v'Niftar, Heses, the Drabanan. The Rambam Shita is that when you take a Shavuos Heses, there's no Nikitas Chefes. Meaning, you know, the story of Avraham and Eliezer, you know, Simna, Yodcha, Tachas, Irechi. Right? The Gemara says that normally when you take a Shavuos Hadayanim, right, you take it, you hold the Sefer Torah when you do that. Right? Or Kibitam Chacham, still in, right, in the time of Avram, and this is part of what the Rishonim discuss, Rashi al HaTorah, and Tosis in Masechet Shavuos, right, they discuss this problem. In the time of Abraham and Eliezer, the only mitzvah was Mila. I think it's more than that. But that's not for now. Anyway, there's something called Mikitas Chetes. Rambam says in a bunch of places, in the beginning of Hilchos Torah Benitan, in Parakeet Aleph Hilchos Shavuos, all over Yadakot Baka, Rambam says, a Shavuos Heses, a Nishba v'Niftar Drabanan, Shavuos Heses, does not get Nikitas Chesed. But a Nishba v'Notel, even though it's only Drabanan, will be treated like a Shavuos D'Oraisa and it gets Nikitas Chesed. That's the Rambam Sheet. Now, why am I telling you all this? That's all background. If you look at the Rambam here, in Halacha Zayin, it's not so clear. The Rambam says, "Yeah, sorry, it is clear. One point is not clear." The Rambam says, "Shneim sheyochsim b'kli echad, or sheyochsim agali behema achas, or sheyachad roche v'yachad manig, or yoshim b'tzad arema shalchitin, u'munachos b'simto b'chatzah shal shneim." Right? Zeh omer akol shali, zeh omer akol shali, kol echad m'shneim nizro b'nikitas chepet she'ino b'zeh adavar. So how does the Rambam How does the Rambam characterize the Shua? Kol echad mishneim nishba benikitas chefet she'ino b'zeh adavar pachos michetzio v'yachloku. That's the Rambam.
That's the Mishnah.
Well, the Mishnah says that you take a Shua,
yeah.
But the Mishnah does not say you take a Shua benikitas chefet, right?
A
solemn
Shua.
It just says the Shua. So the Rambam says the same thing in Perek Chas, Hilchos Mechira, Halacha Dalet. Remember the Mishnah has two cases, right? Zelmer Kulishali, Zelmer Kulishali, Zelmer Ani Mitzasiyah, Zelmer Ani Mitzasiyah. One is the case of Mitzasiyah, one is the case of Nekachomemkar, where the two people try to buy and purchase at the same time. So one the Rambam speaks of in Hilchos Toein, that's here, and the other the Rambam speaks of in both places, the Rambam says you take a shua b'nikitas chetet. In Mechira, even calls it, he takes a shua b'yito. Contrast that with, number one, the Habamina. Remember, on Gimel and Aleph, the Gemara thought we could bring a proof from Mode of the Mikvas, from the shua, the Tanatuna, from the shua, the Mishnah. Anan Sadi, that each one is Tofes, and yet, you know, there's a Shvua. In the end, the Gemara rejected it. And then again, on Dawud Amud Aleph, the Gemara thought, oh, maybe it's like Kalach, and yet there's a Shvua, and the Gemara said, what are you talking about? This is a Shvua Drabana, not a Shvua Daraisa. What were they comparing it? And then the Gemara thought, it's Kain Daraisa? What do you mean Kain Daraisa? Is it Nishma Venota or Nishma Veniftar? Right? The Gemara, in a few places, you know, seems to be discussing how the Shvua works. It's not clear whether it's based on Abayi Rabbi Yochanan, how the Shvua works. Is it based on Borei Heter? Is it based on Kol Echad Tov Kepetali Shishol Kaveiro? But what exactly is going on? And it comes up again later on in the next Gemara, the Gemara that on base, the Gemara says, the Lex is Yishas the Mocher. You should ask the Mocher who he sold it to. So Rishon Rishonim explained, Bali Tosis included, that Ein Echad is Potem and Ashvua. Ein Echad and the Sayeya, Kevin Ein Echad on your side, and you're obligated to take a Shvua, you're Potter. So the Rishonim all discuss, really, is that even true for Shua's Daraisa, or only Darbanans? Is the difference between the Shua and Otel and Hesed? Well, what are the parameters of that? Anyways, so in that context, the Tosis in Kiddushin of Ayin Gimel of the days says, Ein Echad on the Sayeya, you have an Ein Echad on your side, right? So he forces the other guy to take a Shua Daraisa, and he absolves you, he exempts you from taking a Shua. Even a Shvua Tessa is like the Shvua of the Mishnah of Shalmos and the Tass. So what does Tosus think? He just mentioned it to Derech Agav. That the Shvua of our Mishnah is a Shvua Nishba V'Nitzar like Tessa. But the Rambam says all over the place, I mentioned, see if I can find it in the Bible, it's one of the places. Rambam always, when he talks about Nikitas Chepetz, always says you should know, Hesus does not get a Rambam says as follows. This is Tarek Aleph, because Poin Halacha Beis. Nisha Oda Mikas HaMetalkalin, Nisha Chai Ve'yachad, Vashomer, Ukra B'yan Rishuas Hashom Bechos Chiros, V'kol Echad Mishloshta Nishba V'Niftar Milashale. These three Shuas Saraitza, each one is a Nishba V'Niftar, Avokon Nishboim V'Notlin, but if you Nishba as a prerequisite to collecting, Kagon, Sakir, Nechbal, Nigzal, Pogame, Bechain Kol, Mishboim, Betaina Safek, Shitfim, Arifin, Kulan, Mishboim, Betakanis Chachamim, Bekolela, Hashuas, Apavishem, Bedibay Sofrim, Hare, Ke'ein, Shal Torah, Benekitas Chayfetz. Right? Hatoin, Betalkun, Al Kaveira, of a Kofar Bakol, but a Kofar Akol, the Omer Loy, Dwar Meholam, Osha Hodim, Mikvas, Venasam, Yad, Halach, Vamar ein lecha biyadi aluzebe heilach. Osha amar enes shahaya lecha etzli av amalachalpali, anasatali, amakarte, I don't owe you anymore, I paid you, you were mochel, etc. So the Rambam says, in all these cases, b'cholei lepotem b'shvuch ha-Torah, in the Torah you don't have to do anything, ab'chachme ha-Talmud tiknu shi'ishava ha-nitva b'cholei l'shvuch ha-sis v'yipater. However, the Rambam adds, v'eina ke'ein shal Torah, it's not like a shvuch daraisa, even on a Zabana level, the Bisha Ainba the Kitas Chefetz, the Kvarbiyarn, the Derech HaShvuas, the Torah, the Derech HaShvuas, this is the Shvuas. He says it's all over his Yad HaZal. So now, I'm just putting together the puzzle, since you asked, right? Shvuas HaMishnah. What does the Rambam say about it that's not in the Mishnah? That it's been a Kitas Chefetz. Clearly, he doesn't think it's Shvuas HaSas. But Tosis in Kiddushin, Ayin Gimel and Beis, and the Habaminos of the Gemara, think that it is Shvuas Hesus. So it's probably exactly the same machlokas once again. Right? Polytosis who hold that kolechot tofes, chatzi, and there's tfisas metaltolin, each one has a tfisas metaltolin. Right? So they say, oh, and what's he being nizra? Not nizra v'niftar. I'm sorry, it's not nizra v'notel, it's nizra v'niftar. He's retaining what he already has. because the other guy has to take it away from him. Motzi mechaber levaraya. But the Rambam, who thinks that Shaim Oksim Batalis is Momen HaMutzah B'Safek Cholkin, so neither one has a right in the object, really. Each one is Nishba B'Notel. So the Rambam says that. That's the Nikitas Chayfas. That's exactly it. So this also would work very nicely in two readings of the Gemara here on base on the base. Let's skip a little on base on the base just for a minute. The Gemara says as follows. Lema matznisin delo kesumchas. Everybody have that? In the middle of the page. Our Mishnah, which says Shnaim Oksim Batalis Yachloku Bishvua, maybe it is against Sumchas. Because Sumchas said, Ha'amar, Mabana Mutta Besafek Kalkin, Belo Shvua. There's no Shvua. So the discrepancy of having a Shvua, not having a Shvua, it seems to establish that our Mishnah is not like Sumchas. So this is a remarkable Gemara, just because. And otherwise we would think that our Mishnah could be Sumchas. But Sumchas' din is based on Safek, it's not based on Fisa. So I mentioned last time that the Rabban and the Tosas Rid, I think that they were very impressed by this line in the Gemara. Like, the only difference between Sumchas and the Mishnah is a Shvua. Right, but otherwise it's a good model. Meaning the Mishnah isn't necessarily a Din Vadai based on Tisa Smetaltalin. And the end of the discussion of the Gemara, the top of Gimel and Aleph, the Gemara explains why there's a difference with regard to Shua. So you could say, oh, that's just in theory. Our Mishnah is not like Sumchas anyway, but our Mishnah doesn't have to be something that Sumchas can't read. Or, and that's how Tosas on that Beis and Aleph, if you look at Tosas here, in the end of Dibur Masav Yachloku, the Shita Sod, that's how Tosas has to read it. It says, Ulusumchas, see four lines from the end of Tosas, Tosas, the second Tosas on the page. Ulusumchas, I forgot the Eimuk Tokimbo, Tosas mentions it like an afterthought. And by the way, you know, in certain conditions, Sumchas would also be able to hold like the Mishnah. Tosas Rid, the Rabban, they think Sumchas is a model for the Mishnah, as long as you can neutralize the Shua question. So the whole discussion about Sumchas here is fascinating, but that's not what I want to zero in on. The Gemara says, "Lame is simply not just a locus sumchas, because sumchas someone with a tzavik kol can below shvur." But I want to zero in on the next line of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Elamai, Rabbanon." Okay, so the author of the Mishnah is not says sumchas is not consistent with our Mishnah. The Rabbanon is okay with our Mishnah, right? Amri, don't they say in the sumchas case? What is the sumchas case? Right, a machlif para b'chamar. Right, you, again, two people are exchanging objects, animals, and one is pregnant. Right? And we just don't know whether or not the birth takes place a minute before, a minute after the transaction. In other words, does the vlad go to the bocher or to the lokeach? That's the case of Sumchas. So what did the Rabbanon say? Motzi mechaber levaraya. Right? The owner, the old owner of the ubar, which is now the vlad, is the bocher. And we say Matamcher Levaraya. And Sumchas says, Momen HaMutzah B'Safek Kalk. So the Gemara says, and Rabbanan are okay with our Mishnah. They say Motzi Mechaber Levaraya. Right? Now, what does that line mean? When the Gemara asks that question. So there are two ways, so it's not such a strong question. Or it is a strong question. If they're both Tosim, I mean, depending, this should depend on how you read our Mishnah. Because if you read our Mishnah and you say, in our Mishnah, neither one is Toface. Since both are Tosim, nobody's Toface. So then the question is stronger. Saying, what, our Mishnah's okay. Our Mishnah believes in, our Mishnah's about being Mabana Buta Basafe Kalkin. And what does that have to do with the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan say, Mabana Buta Basafe Kamotza Mechavarala Varaya. Right? Then the Gemara, if that's one way to read the Gemara. So the question is stronger. But the question is based on the idea that the Mishnah is not an example of Motzi Mechaber Levaraya. Right? But then the answer is easier. Let's see, why is the answer easier? Right? Haimai, the Gemara says. Yeah, with Bishlam Rabbanan, Hassan Rol Tavsi Travayu. Om Rabbanan, Motzim Becherel, Avaraya. Hachad, the Travayu Tavsi, Palgil, Avishmua. So the answer of the Gemara, the question of the Gemara is, what does Rabbanan have to do with our Mishnah? Rabbanan takes a Motzim Becherel, Avaraya. There's no Motzim Becherel, Avaraya in our Mishnah. It's a moment of Motzim Becherel, Avaraya. Right? That's the question. What's the answer of the Gemara? The Gemara's answer is, what are you talking about? The Rabbanan don't have a problem with our Mishnah. They believe in Motzim Becherel Avaraya, but here, there are two people who are being tofes. So since two people are being tofes, therefore there's no Motzim Becherel, neither of them is a Motzim Becherel Avaraya. So here they'll say, Mamun Abud Abasaf, I call Kim Bishnua. That is how Rashi read this Gemara. Look at Rashi. One second. All of Avaraya, the Adim. Right? The Hilo. Lo gavi midi, v'halcha cholkem b'shvua. Halcha gatzina. Here with fish, om rabbanon hasam lo tatsi travayu. Om rabbanon, halcha de tatsi travayu, halgi b'shvua. Eliyam resum kasma hasam v'lo tatsi travayu, om resum kaspalgi v'lo shvua, halcha de tatsi travayu, like kol shekein. What? So basically, the way Rashi read the question was, how can you compare the Rabbanan who say Motzim Becherel Avaraya to our Mishnah, which has nothing to do with Motzim Becherel Avaraya? And the answer is, because of the case of the Mishnah, right, there's no comparable, it's not a case of Motzim Becherel Avaraya, but if it would be, then it would be no problem. Okay. And then Rashi continued, even when we Trabai Tafsi, the ain't kind of Motzim Mechavero, right? B'shvua palgi, kivin the mechusa gavayna, b'meshach haver tofes, v'ay tofes b'kul, v'ay tofes b'kul. Rashi's even better. Rashi says that each one is tofes b'kul, not that each one is tofes b'chetzi. They're both tofes on the same call in the Mishnah. So how does Rashi read the question, and how does he read the answer? He reads the question, the Rabbanan and Motzim Becherel Avaraya have nothing that's completely foreign to the Mishnah. And the answer is, the Nachanami, because in the case of the Mishnah, Kol Echad is Tofes Bakol. That's not the case of Motzim Becherel Avaraya of the Rabbanan, where Echad is Tofes Bakol. What are you going to do when Shleimer Tofes Bakol? That's Rashi. However, if you look at Rabbeinu Hananel, he rereads the question. Instead of saying that the question is, what's the connection between Rabbanan and our Mishnah? One is Motzim Becherel Avaraya and the other is completely not. So the Rach says, the Umri Elamai Masisan Enikasum Kazalik Rabbanan, Amai Nishboin, Vahamotzim Mechavero Alavaraya Amrinan. Wow. Rabbeinu Hananel read the question of the Gemara, not where's the Motzim Mechavero Alavaraya in our Mishnah. According to the Rabbanan, since Motzim Mechavero Alavaraya, in the case of Sumchas, doesn't require a shvua, it shouldn't require a shvua in the Mishnah either. What are you talking about? The case of Sumchas is Motzim Becherel Avaraya. The case of the Mishnah, there is no Motzim Becherel Avaraya, right? No. What does Rabbeinu Hananel think? Rabbeinu Hananel thinks that Shnayim Oksim Betalis, Kol Echad, Tofes, Bechetzi, there are two Motzim Becherel Avarayas, but each one should be Gova B'li Shvua. So the question is not how can you paskin Motzim Becherel Avaraya there and not paskin it here. The question is how come in both cases where you have Motzim Becherel Avaraya there you don't need a shvua and here you do need a shvua. The answer is because without two topsim, right, on the same object, even though kol echad bechet. Now it's fascinating. This works beautifully for Rabbeinu Hananel. If you look at Rabbeinu Hananel, Rashbam in Bavasra, when he quotes Rabbeinu Hananel, he about the kol dalem gavar question. Right, the question of why here is it Yachok, there it's called Alam Gavar. So the Rashbam quotes Rabbeinu Hananel, who says, well, because Shnayim Oksim Betalis is the case of Tzisa, Kol Echad. But even more than that, he quotes Rabbeinu Hananel, who says, because Kol Echad Tofes, right? Zen no tol Atchiyonu Magas, Zen no tol Atchiyonu Magas. So that's a little inaccurate, because the Gemara in Zayin and Aleph that we already saw, so Zeno Tolchino Bagas is not the case of the Mishnah. Hakar Ben Hanano, when he's talking about the Mishnah, Shai Mosin, quote the word, Zenotalachi out of Magas. What's the answer? It's true, it's wrong. But it's not conceptually so wrong. Rabbeinu Hanano, like the Tosus, like the Rosh thinks, Kol Echad is Tofes Mechetzi. So he says, you know what? They're holding on the Karkashta. But legally, it's like Kol Echad Tofes Mechetzi Ad Shadu Magas. Yeah.
Shouldn't the key be their claim? Zeh Omer Kura Shalim, Zeh Omer Kura Shalim.
Right.
And the Tzisa should be irrelevant to Hamotzi Mechaveru Olaf Orayim. Just the claim in itself, Zeh Omer Kura Shalim.
Well, but that's never true when it comes to Tzisa Metalfalim. Because it's Tzisa Metalfalim, I'm holding on to my watch. And the other guy's saying, it's mine. I still have my physical Tzisa. Right? That's the issue. The Rashi thinks you're right. The Ramban might think you're right. The Rambam might think you're right. But Tosus and Rabbeinu Hananel and the Rosh, all these Rishonim are saying, no, the physical Tfisa is Kaveya. So it works out perfectly. So now if you look at the Rashba, who also holds like Tosus, you'll see that he earns the same as well.
Always trauma. The statement.
No. It has to be in conjunction with the statement. For example, when one guy said, Kula Shalim, and the other guy said, Katsya Shalim, right, we say Kol Echad is Topes Berevia. Why not say Kol Echad is Topes Bechetzi? After all, they're both holding on to the fringes. So the Rishonim explain the Rush and the Brino Paris. They say, yeah, because your Tfisa is not going to be better than your Taina. It might be less than your Taina, but it's not going to be better than your Taina. So the Tainas matter too. It's a combination of the Taina and the Tfisa.
Well, let's go back to that legal foil of Hekdish is strictly Taina.
What?
That legal foil that
we've
been thinking about.
No, that's right. Because you don't need physical. But that's because Hekdish Abir Rasul the Gebawa can throw the Hedja. The whole genius of Hekdish is that you don't need physical control. But we do need physical control. So if you look just very quickly, I just want to finish this up. On base on the base, the Rajba reads the Gemara like Rabbeinu Hananel. Because the Rajba was like Tosin. It just fits it perfectly. Look at this. Haraj Bakasa Vizela Shono is on page 1 of the second, the 11, the second group. Haraj Bakasa Vizela Shono, Haimai, Iyam, Rizvishom, Rabbanan, Kashali, Udikarya Mai Karale, Umay Shaikam Asisim, the Rabbanan. What does the Mishnah do with the Rabbanan? Of Simchas. Hasim Badai Motziu. There, there's Tzisa. Abul Haka Trabaya Topsila. Here there are two topes in. And he's from St. Kulishali, right? The Nira Lee says the Rajba, the Kasoka died to the Maksha, the Masisa Nami, Maida Tapasaiti Day, Maida Tapasaiti Day. Uki Ilu Nechlika Kvar. It's as if, like, they're holding on to two different objects. The Kalechad Muksuk Miomid Bimachtiso, the Nimsa Kalechad Balahotzi Mechavero. This is the strongest, the Rajba is all the Rishonim is the strongest on this idea of Kalechad Topit Pachetzi. Throughout, the whole Shaka Vitari, all the different Gemaras. Osa Maksis Shatakas Yadav, the Kivin Chakain, Zet Sorok Lahavi Raya, the Meshiyat Chabero. The Ashabo Hevi Raya, Ain Chabero Chayav Lo Klum. The Esek Shmua Ain Kan Klal, there shouldn't be a Shmua here. That's the Gemara's question. Not like Rashi, how can you pask in this way? How can you pask in this way and need a Shmua? Why do you need a Shmua? You should pask in that way without the Shmua.
You don't even need the Taina in this case.
Well, you need a Taina. You always need a Taina because otherwise the guy will say you're a thief. If I'm holding on to, well, that's actually an issue. I mean, Rabbeinu Yonah in Baal Basra seems to say, not, if a guy's holding on to a Batalpa and you say, it's mine, does he have to tell you, does he have to answer you, or can he just walk away? Most people assume, the Rambam assumes he has to answer you. He has to have a Taina. Rabbeinu Yonah, I'm not so sure. The beginning of Kasaba. The Chena Sheni, the Meshi Yad Chabero, the Iger Kushasu Gamkein, the Rabbanan Machmas HaShmuahi. The only question was because of the Shmua, not because of the Tzisa. It is Motsu Mechavel of Araya, each one Bechetzi. The Lamishim Niktoni Boyachloku, against Rashi. Uparik, the Gemara answers, Iyomus Bishom Rabbanan Asamot Tatsi Travayu, Elikula Biyada Echon Legamre, Havalina Chamotsu Mechavel of Araya. There's only one Topes, there's no Shmua. Avakan Travayu Tatsi Beinu Mechulakes. It might be kinechlika, but it isn't. It's still one object, and there's still two people. Badayin mis amtsin bo, zermer kulishuli b'chazkasihi, hilchiyach loka b'shua kengirali. If you look I'll stop here because it's late, but if you look at the marikats and the ritzvash, so they really debate about this question. also. Exactly this issue. That how you hold by Shaimok to Metalis will dictate how you read the Habamina and the Maskana of this command. So what comes out of everything that we've discussed is that this is such a deeply rooted argument that it affects the reading of and the way that you formulate and what you quote in about six or seven different Gemaras and five or six or seven different substantive issues. And the consistency of certain Rishonim, the Rajba, the Baal Tosfos, the Rambam, the Ramban, is just remarkable. It's a window, really, into the consistent thinking of the Rishonim. Okay, we'll stop here. Next time, I want to speak a little about Kol Dalem Gabar, and then we'll